Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We're back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I appreciate your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. Our special guest is our good friend and our fairly regular guest. He's with us every couple of weeks or so, Jonathan Zuck, the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies. Jonathan, welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back with us. We're going to be talking, folks, today, as we always do with Jonathan, about some of the hardware and software and public policy issues that are coming around to bend at us, and some of the new stuff that's on the block and that you can take advantage of, and some of the things that the government has up its sleeve and may be helping you or may not be helping you. And those are some of the things we talk about whenever Jonathan joins us, and I appreciate his time. Jonathan, you guys are doing something called Techies Day. Tell us what that is.
Well, it's something that just passed us on October 5th. As probably all of you know, there's a workforce shortage right now in the IT industry. If you open up the want ads, you can see that it's page after page of jobs and careers.
What's the number?
In information technology.
It's like a quarter of a million, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 350,000 unfilled jobs right now, and that number looks like it'll get close to a million in the next few years.
Were you the one that was telling me that a 19-year-old recently signed an employment agreement for $90,000 a year?
I think I was the one.
Somebody told me that. I guess it was you.
Yeah, the average salary in the IT profession is 53 grand, which is about twice the national average.
Irrespective of age.
Exactly.
Or education, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very merit-based. It's not about where you went to school. It's what can you do for me now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very vocational in that respect.
So what are you guys doing for this?
Well, and so the thing is, it's a little bit of a multifaceted approach to solving this problem. There's kind of like short-term, mid-term, and long-term ways to address this. I mean, in the short term, we're trying to figure out how to get more, highly skilled labor from abroad in the short term, which is a little bit of a conflict and something that requires a lot of education. But you have people that come, individuals who are highly skilled who come here who end up creating more and more jobs around them because they become entrepreneurs and things like
right.
that. But then, then we've talked other times about the IT training tax credit to make it easy for small businesses to take a chance on somebody that hasn't already been in the IT business by, providing some tax relief to a company that sends somebody that's new to IT to IT training. So if somebody that's just got a lot of aptitude in your office or that you hire, you send them to a database class or something like that, you could get some relief for doing that. But then the long-term strategy is to just try and open up the front door a little bit and start talking to kids about IT careers. They're not just for geeks anymore. And to that end, there was a national effort called Techies Day, which mm-hmm. people can find out about at www.techiesday.com. Basically, it was a national effort. It was on October 5th, and ours here in Washington, we did went to an inner-city kids' computer project called Kids Computer Workshop, brought in a bunch of people from the industry to talk to kids about what it would be like to go into IT careers. And,
now, is that...
It's like
that
a little mock talk show.
How often does Techies Day happen?
Well, this was the first one.
Okay.
I mean, the idea is to make it an annual day, but what we discovered, the kids were pretty savvy, and they came to us and said, when are you going to talk to the rest of the school, and kind of put us on the spot to
right.
to do even more outreach. So it's something that we're going to have to try to figure out how to do with greater frequency and get other businesses involved in
sounds like something
spending a little bit of time outreach to doing outreach to kids.
Sounds like something you need to do at least once a month.
Exactly.
One of the things that I think you're going to find is you're going to find that there's already a network of activity going on out there with between schools and the business community, the traditional business community, and primarily many times managed by the chambers of commerce. The chambers of commerce are working really hard around the country to be the facilitator of putting the business community with the education community.
And yeah, and a lot of that, there are just a lot of disparate programs like that. There's no question. Cisco Schools, Novell, you've got people that are going right into the high schools and offering certification programs so that people can graduate with high school with certifications to be network engineers and things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's certainly a growing trend to, you know, broaden the labor pool here in here at home.
Well, you know, in history, people have been we've been educating children through K-12 and actually in many cases even into college without any kind of specific direction in their life. We haven't really been helping them to focus very much. I mean, I'm not saying that's entirely true, but it's pretty. Back when I was going to high school, there wasn't a lot of emphasis put on you know, focusing your activity. And even in college, back in the 60s or so,
a lot
back
of
in those
arts,
days,
yeah,
you just many times people just graduated with a degree, and some company snapped them up. That's not cutting it anymore, is it?
Well, it's not really. I mean, what's interesting is that that's been turned on its head a little bit, in that we're less interested in whether or not you have a philosophy degree than we are in whether or not you've got an aptitude
right.
and a drive to learn this material and to keep up with it. I mean, it's certainly a high-paced business, but you know, people from all walks of life. I mean, one of the most one of the best hires I ever made as a small business owner was a bartender. Who came on board and became an incredible developer and project manager and now owns his own business and is employing other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know, and this isn't more than any other. All that matters is what you know.
It's very exciting. And, folks, we got some more information technology stuff to talk to you about with our good friend Jonathan Zuck, the president of the Association for Competitive Technology. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. If you want to join us, 888-822-8255. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Jonathan Zuck, the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies. If you'd like to join us, ask a question, make a comment. I've got one of the experts in the high-tech world with us right now, Jonathan Zuck. And that phone number is 888-822-8255. And be sure to check out my new website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Same old address, new website. Jonathan, let's move on and talk about something that's called help.com.
What's interesting, probably a bunch of people have seen this new advertising campaign that CNET has mounted. Have you seen the posters that
mm-hmm.
say, friends don't give friends technical advice, or the commercials where just before somebody goes under the gas on the operating table, he tries to ask his surgeon what type of PC he should buy, and they're really trying to say you should get your advice in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, CNET has put together a really incredible information resource site on information technology at help.com. So if you are trying to make decisions about what kinds of PCs you should buy, what sort of network you should set up, what your choices of modems are, network solutions, and things of that sort, printers, comparisons, where to get the cheapest one, there's this huge resource database and articles for decision making all available on this help.com. So it's an invaluable resource that people should check out, with respect to information technology.
Now, is there a cost to,
nope.
Is there any kind of charge? It's all free.
It's all free. It's all just sort of advertising supported. So,
yeah.
I mean, they don't sell anything themselves, so they don't have any kind of bias as far as what it is that they're trying to, recommend. So they literally just go out and they constantly compare prices of things, so that if you decide you want the you know, Hewlett Packard Inkjet 620 printer after reading a bunch of reviews, and they'll show you 10 different places you can order it for, you know, and by clicking and going directly to those places to order it, but they'll show you the prices and the comparisons. They'll do comparison charts of prices versus support.
Wow.
And things of that sort to make it easy for you to make a decision.
And that's help.com.
Help.com.
Simple as that. All right, good. Thanks for telling us about that. I have been to the CNET site, but I didn't know about the help.com site.
It's new.
Yeah.
That's why it's a...
I saw the ads, as you say. I'd seen the CNET ads, I went there actually looking for some information, and I thought, well, you know, this is a great organization, but it didn't provide me with what I was looking for. But I that's been about 3 weeks or so ago, so I'm sure the help.com has come up since then. Help.com, check that out, folks.
Yeah, it's worth taking a look at. It's worth. I mean, I've just done some sample questions on it and things, and was able to find answers pretty quickly.
So it's an Ask Jeeves type of thing for high tech.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just for technology.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Good. What's an ASP?
Well, there's a new trend coming out. There's been a lot of software products that are very high end. For managing your business, you know, famous among them is, you know, things like PeopleSoft, where it's got you know, built-in accounting, human resources management, and lots of things like that. It's very, very expensive and high-end because their target market is large companies, and so it's tens of thousands of dollars to buy these very, you know, sophisticated but very useful software packages. And ASP is this new business model called an application service provider, which is a company that buys the PeopleSoft product and then basically allows you to get access to it on a part-time basis if you're a small business. So that, you know, what they'll do is put together, you know, web-based tools for you to go in and manage your human resources, your accounting, and things like that using these very high-end, very mature tools, right? It's not just like a tool that somebody knocked out quickly for the web. These are, you know, very high-end tools that people have been using for years and years. But then they then make that, you know, approachable for small businesses by essentially renting software to you as opposed to forcing you to buy it.
Sort of a web-based bureau for this high-end stuff, and you can use it as you need it, so you don't have to invest in this expensive technology when all you need is really a small portion of that capability.
A small portion of it, and,
yeah,
and a lot less frequent use of,
yeah,
it and things like that. So, yeah, you can end up for the same kind of price that you would pay for low-end tools like, you know, a QuickBooks,
yeah,
or something. You can have access to very high-end accounting and human resources.
We've talked about this before, the power of the processing being web-based instead of PC-based. Is there, you have a quick quick website for any of that?
I'll have to...
Let's see if we can find that for the folks when we take a break.
For you.
Folks, it's 29 after. We're going to take a break and talk some more about information technology and what's coming around the corner at us with our good friend Jonathan Zuck. Stay with us, please. Back is 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jonathan Zuck is our good friend and our guest this hour. He's the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies. We're talking about application service providers, and which is where they're essentially, Jonathan, they're putting the power processing on the web, which is what I heard. The first person I heard talking about that was Bill Gates several years ago.
Right.
And he said, you know, it won't matter. And I'm not saying he was the first to say it. It's just he's the first one that I heard say it. He said, you know, one day it won't matter what's on your desk. What will matter is how you know what you're connected to. And you and I've talked about an article that Sun Microsystems president the comment he made about. He said, "Don't buy our software." He said, "Don't buy our capability. What we want to do is sell it to the networks, so that you can buy your software from them incrementally."
Right, and then in fact, some software that's Star Office, which is a little bit like Microsoft Office, they're giving away for free.
Yep.
Because you can get to it via the web and use it directly from there.
And see, think about that. Think about that capability, Jonathan, with the advent of technological convergence. Now you can it's starting to become easier to see that these little handheld things that we're going to carry around with us, you don't have to have all this this big operation, this big unit with you, because the power, the processing power, is going to be on the internet.
Right.
And that's something I see coming down the pike at us.
I mean, it's a complicated thing because centralized processing was a lot of what people were trying to move away from at one point with the mainframe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you're still going to want to find the ability to facilitate personal productivity, personal data storage, creating your own little database, things like that. So,
yep.
I mean, in theory, part of that will be facilitated by simply having easier-to-use tools that exist on a server, whereas programming for the mainframe was very difficult. But I think there's still going to be a role for PCs to play.
Oh, yeah.
Moving forward.
I agree, but see, what I'm envisioning is you're out there, you know, you're out in this outpost or wherever you are, in your car or wherever, and you produce this work, and you want to keep it. Well, you just email it to yourself.
Right.
You know, and it goes over, and maybe it's a big file or whatever. You download it to and email it to your mainframe or to your PC. Anyway, it's very exciting to me. You said you had an address.
Well, just an example, and obviously anybody that's exploring this option should do a little more research. But one of the pioneering companies in this area is a company called Corio, C-O-R-I-O. So if you go to www.corio.com, and that's the exact pitch. You know, think Fortune 500 applications are beyond the reach of your growing company. Think again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they just provide centralized, you know, for basically a flat monthly rate, financials, human resources, manufacturing, and customer relationship management are all part of the package that they provide you for a flat rate at a much lower cost than if you try to put it together yourself.
The playing field is becoming more and more level, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, because a lot of stuff is becoming commoditized, and it's not even that companies didn't want it to be commoditized at first. It's that, you know, without this kind of a distribution mechanism in place that the mm-hmm. Internet represents, it didn't make sense. You needed a huge sales force, and it was very expensive to put products like this into the market.
That's right.
And making them available for small businesses just wasn't cost effective.
Technology and market forces, meaning making things available in bite sizes, so to speak, or affordable components.
Pay as you go,
yeah.
There's an immediacy to it that is helping to commoditize it.
Market forces and technology is contributing significantly to the excitement that I think that we have out there in the marketplace now for small business owners, for entrepreneurs. And as I've said many, many times before, there's never been a more exciting time to be on your own, to be operating your own business, to be out there as an entrepreneur. Okay, let's talk about cyber squatting.
Okay.
That's an interesting thing. Tell us what that is.
Well, there's a lot of different aspects of cyber squatting, which is kind of interesting. But another thing that's turned into a commodity, if you will, is domain names on the Internet. So if you're a business and you're trying to go out and get your business name as a domain name, as a URL for the Internet, you know, so, you know, www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, you're finding it increasingly difficult to get a hold of the name. And so there's being, you know, more and more issues raised about that. And that's because it was a government-mandated price of $70, which was just simply lower than the market value for
yep.
some of these names.
I have experienced cyber squatting. There's something that I've been a site that I've been interested in doing something with, and somebody else has had that site for 2 years and hasn't done anything with it.
Right.
Or has had that.
They want to sell it to you.
Yeah, and I haven't contacted them about that. But the point is that's to me that's an example of cyber squatting, isn't it?
It is an example of cyber squatting, but at this point it's not illegal.
Right.
It's just a commodity. I mean, it's basically saying that these things are actually worth more than $70. And where what's becoming illegal though is cyber squatting on a trademarked name.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's legislation coming down the pike about that.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Stand by, Jonathan, folks. We'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the new things that are going on with internet taxation And we've got a few more bits and pieces of different information technology things to talk to you about. Besides that, it's 39 After. I'll be right back with Jonathan Zuck. We are back. It's 44 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Welcome back, heroes. 888-822-8255. That's our phone number if you'd like to give us a call. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check that out, especially please check out the archives, folks, and I think you're going to enjoy those. I really look forward to hearing your comments on that. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. Jonathan, tell us quickly a little bit about ACT.
Well, the Association for Competitive Technology, or ACT, is a IT industry trade association working here in Washington to make sure that we have sensible policies in the IT industry. We track things like internet taxation and broadband access and things of that sort. And so we're happy to have anybody come to the website and sign up for the newsletter just to stay informed about the kinds of things that are happening here that might affect them. Our website is www.actonline.org, actonline.org. Stop by, check us out, contact us if there's anything we can help you with.
Well, and I tell you, I'm really excited about what you guys are doing and the availability of what you're doing to people out there who are interested in your area. I mean, tell us again what it costs, plus the folks who can actually just check in for free.
Well, as an IT business that wants to become a standard member of the trade association, it's still only $100 to join. You can, as an individual, come and become a free member just to get on the mailing list and to find out when there's issues that are coming up that might affect you, and we'll help you write letters to Congress, and our website helps you figure out who your congresspeople are and how to contact them mm-hmm. if there's issues of concern to you. So basically we're trying to help be your conduit, and we're made up mostly of small businesses. We're helping to be your conduit to Washington.
Right.
I just recently gave a discussion in front of a bunch of entrepreneurs in the IT business down in Orlando. And I had a lot of people come up to me and talk to me about independent contractor regulations and how much difficulty those have been for small businesses.
Because
they get forced to classify independent contractors as employees.
The last hour, we spent the whole hour talking about that issue with Marguerite Kirk.
Yeah,
and that's a big deal. In fact, of course, one of the reasons it's getting a lot of visibility right now is because of the Microsoft ruling.
Exactly.
You know, they were actually they've had a couple of rulings to go against them this decade. One was on independent contractors with regard to taxes, and the other one was independent contractors with regard to benefits.
Right.
And so that's very but those are now case laws basically that can be used against anybody, little bitty companies. So you're right. That's a big deal, and it's a big deal on both sides of the desk. For the independent contractor and the person who hires independent contractors.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah.
It's a tough thing. I mean, because you have, I talked to one entrepreneur who works mostly with independent contractors, and they're all making more than she is. Mm-hmm. And she finds it hard to believe that she's got to take responsibility for their benefits.
Right, yeah.
But sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes it's the other way around, and It's certainly a complicated issue, but it's one of the ones that we're trying to watch.
Let's move on down and talk about online postage.
All right. Another trend that's sort of happening in this online world is, in addition to providing sort of online software, is online business services. So services that are available to that have been available for a long time to very large businesses. Postage meters. Blast faxes, broadcast faxes, and things like that. More and more of those things are becoming available online, again, making them much more affordable, lowering the price of entry for small businesses. And one example of that is postage metering. I mean, if you wanted to do kind of mass mailings, if you were trying to do if you have a small association or something like that, and you're trying to do mass mailings, then you had to bring a postage meter in and pay rental on it. And sometimes the cost of that was prohibitive. And now there are sites like stamps.com where you can generate these metered labels online and at a much lower cost, because there's no box that you have, there's no Pitney Bowes box that you got to bring into your office in order to do it. So you can bring down the cost of doing mass mailings a great deal by going to a site like stamps.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've talked other times about things like eFax and JFax,
yeah,
which make it easier for you to do stuff like receive faxes, but those sites have gotten better since we talked about them and allow you to do things like broadcast faxes and things that have generally been very high-end services that you've had to buy from AT&T or MCI,
right,
and now available at a very affordable cost via these online services.
Very interesting, and another example of the leveling of the playing field and giving small businesses more and more power, more and more capability, and more to make them more productive and therefore more competitive in the marketplace with everyone, not just your peers in size and capability, but more competitive with the big folks.
Yeah, because basically you're outsourcing your infrastructure.
That's exactly right.
And the infrastructure is the hardest thing to put in place as a small business.
Mm-hmm. And that's affecting you, and it's very exciting for you. But for the big companies, it's changing their paradigms, isn't it?
Yeah, they're having to re-examine some of these services themselves because they're starting to realize cost efficiencies by dumping some of their own infrastructure and outsourcing it, even though they could afford the infrastructure.
Yeah, because
everybody has to redesign their business.
Because their competitors are no longer people who had to spend the same thing they had to spend.
Right.
Their competitors are now the little guys who are being able to buy bite sizes of this capability and go head-to-head with them and get the business.
Exactly.
Stand by. We've got to take a break. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Jonathan Zuck. We are back at 54 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jonathan Zuck is our special guest. Let me tell you about some of the things we've got coming up for you in the days ahead. Natalia Lee is going to be back with us to finish up talking about her internet survey about geekdom. And Mark Allen is going to be back to talk to us about some more about being a visionary entrepreneur. Annabelle Dodd is going to join us to talk to us about telecommunications words and some of the phrases that are used in telecommunications so you can become a little smarter along those lines. Mike Menzies is our independent banker. He's going to be back to talk to us some more about how to deal with your banker. Tim and Paul Berry are going to be back to talk about how to develop an effective and successful website online. Sarah Calvert, our small business attorney. Mary Westheimer with Book Zone is going to be back to talk to us about a survey that they did on the internet. And our human resources expert, Bill Hubbard, and more stuff even besides that, all next week, looking and the days ahead. I'm looking forward to delivering all that to you. Jonathan, we were talking about leveling the playing field, and you were telling me a little bit about something that's new that's going on in the movie industry.
Well, I mean, it's going on despite the movie industry to some extent. I mean, as I mentioned before, I'm definitely a filmmaking fanatic, and the price of entry into the film industry has always been very, very high. As a director, I mean, people sort of scrounge together and try to get a film produced, and then they have to find a distributor, and the distributor then has to make, you know, films and put them in cans and send them out to theaters.
Layer after layer after layer.
Exactly. And so it's a very, very, very low chance of success. And another area in which the internet is beginning to level the playing field is in filmmaking, because the quality of digital video is such now that it approximates film, and people are able to shoot films a lot more inexpensively than they were able to previously. And the internet then provides a distribution vehicle that didn't exist before. So there are feature-length films that are available for download off the internet, and then you're seeing like little coffee houses and things like that download a movie and show them to an audience of 20 or 30 people, which is maybe all you would have gotten in an art house anyway. And you've completely cut out like 10 of the middlemen, if you will. And so, you know, there's less censorship. There's the ability to create just the film that you want to make, and to get it, you know, delivered all over the world almost instantly.
If you're downloading it for free, who pays for the film?
Well, that's still something that's being that's being worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people just want to have films out there,
uh-huh.
And then if people come to enjoy their films, then then there's other options. I mean, they can make it so that you have to pay to download it.
Yeah.
The key, though, is to, at first, is to establish yourself. I mean, most first-time filmmakers don't make any money on
right.
distributed films either.
Right, exactly.
Because of all the middlemen are making
yeah.
the money.
Of course, we all know about the Blair Witch Project, which...
The interesting thing about the Blair Witch Project is that it was shot fairly cheaply, and the Internet... was used primarily to generate buzz. It was mm-hmm. a standard film as mm-hmm. far as how it was distributed, and it redefined marketing for films, but that wasn't the distribution channel for the film. And this,
yeah.
is, this is a totally different concept in which you go out, you make your first film, you you know, you don't make any money on it, but you know, people go, hey, I like films that Jim Blazingame makes, and the next time you make one, then you charge a little bit
yeah.
for people to download it, and mm-hmm. and suddenly you build an audience that
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Jonathan, that's got to be the last word. Thank you for all the information you provided us with today. You did a great job. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good. A couple of weeks, let's talk about how to get venture capital into your small business.
I like that. Let's do that. That's in 2 weeks. Jonathan Zuck with the Association for Competitive Technologies. See you next time. Got to go for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.